Praise the Lord. We're going to receive communion together this morning and pray and believe God for, amen, just marvelous things, particularly for divine health and healing. Amen. Does everybody have a element of communion, the juice and the bread? Okay, right. Well, I'm going to read a couple of healing verses over you today. Hallelujah. When the devil attacks, we launch a counterattack. Amen. So, and what we use is the Word of God. Amen. We have the communion elements, which represent the body of Jesus that was broken for us and the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Somebody say, that's my victory. Amen. And then we stand on healing promises in the Word of God, like Psalm 91, verse 10, that says this: no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague, somebody say any plague,
any plague,
come near your dwelling. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. I was listening to Charles Capps this past week. He's in heaven now, but I was watching one of his broadcasts, and he said something to the effect of, the Word of God is true no matter what you've experienced. And he said people have to be watchful that they don't allow their experiences to have more faith in their experiences than the Word of God.
Yes.
Somebody say, the Word of God is true.
The Word of God is true.
If the Bible says I'm healed.
If the Bible says I'm healed.
And my body says I'm sick.
And my body says I'm sick.
What is the truth?
What is the truth?
Somebody say, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
Right?
Woo!
Amen. Now, the fact might be I've got some symptoms, I tested positive, whatever. But how many know it's more important that we test positive for faith?
Yes.
In the Word of God, even if you're in the midst of a battle. That's why the devil wants to shut church down and shut up the body of Christ, right? Because you are the mouthpiece of God on the earth. Amen. Let's say another verse or two. Matthew 9:29. Say this. Well, no, that one's different. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for my transgressions.
But
say
he
that.
He was wounded for my transgressions.
He was bruised for my iniquities.
He was bruised for my iniquities.
The chastisement
of
my peace.
Of my peace.
Was upon him.
Was upon him.
And by his stripes.
And by his stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
Let's praise him for that today.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
Thank
we
you,
praise
Jesus.
You, Lord.
Thank you,
Father,
Jesus.
For your word and for your
Thank
faithfulness
you,
to your word. We praise
Hallelujah.
You for our healing
Psalm
today.
70, verse 16
you,
says
Jesus.
This. Say this out loud. I will go. In the strength of the Lord.
In the strength of the Lord.
My God.
My God.
I make mention of his righteousness.
Of his righteousness.
Of his only.
Of his own.
Somebody say, I belong to him.
I belong to him.
And he is not sick.
Nope. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, right? Jeremiah 33, verse 6 says this: behold, I bring it, health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. That makes me think of the scripture where the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Well, that's how some people say it, but really this is the way to say it. When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood.
Yes.
The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Well, I'm a witness today that I'm healed.
Yes.
Right? any other witnesses in this room, right?
Amen.
And we're going to stay that way, and we're going to preach that, and we're going to declare that, and we'll lay hands on the sick and see them recover wherever you go, to schools, to your community, to your home, to your businesses, to your families. You declare the healing power of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's open up our communion elements here. A little piece of bread is on top. This is a little, you know, symbol of what Jesus has done for us. How many know Jesus did a huge thing? And this is, the bread here is in the shape of a circle, which reminds us there is no end. There is no end to his covenant, no end to his promises to heal you, deliver
Thank
you,
Jesus.
Prosper you, bless you, keep you well, keep you free. Amen. So somebody to say, thank you, Father.
Thank you,
for
Father.
The body of Jesus.
For the body of Jesus.
That this bread represents. His body was broken so my body could be well.
My body could be well. to be well.
Take just a moment and check your heart for any strife, any unforgiveness, because that will block the healing flow of God in your life. Just say, I forgive, Lord.
Yes, sir.
If there's anyone who I have aught against,
thank you,
I forgive them. I don't care if they're politicians. I don't care if it's an athlete that said they were going to retire and then they changed their mind. I'm just joking. Or a family member. Hallelujah. Somebody just say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, that sounds funny, but it's true. People get offended at the silliest things, right? And we shouldn't let it block our blessing. Somebody say, you ain't blocking my blessing, devil.
You're blocking my blessing.
I forgive.
I forgive.
Hallelujah. Let's take the body together. Glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Now let's open the cup. This grape juice that represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for the remission of our sins. Somebody just say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
for
Lord,
the blood that you shed.
For the blood you
this
shed.
This is my victory.
This is my victory.
Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of the victory. The cross, the empty tomb, the Holy Ghost, for your healing, for your deliverance, for your prosperity. Somebody just say, I receive it now.
I receive it now.
In Jesus' name. Let's take the cup. Hallelujah. And Father, we receive this as we're drinking this on behalf of anybody in our church that's right now dealing with health issues, that stayed home because of health issues. We bind COVID.
Yes.
We bind the flu.
Yes.
We bind cancers and diabetes and high blood pressures and anything the devil could conjure up to try to steal, kill, and destroy and keep people out. We bind fear that's keeping people out of church this morning. Hallelujah. And offenses. And we release faith for people to rise up and wake up and get up and be in their places with bright, smiling faces, serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
We'll give you all the praise and glory. Somebody shout, amen.
Amen.
Majesty, worship His majesty.
Jesus who died.
Jesus who died is now glorified, King of all kings.
Hallelujah. Somebody just say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For being my victory today.
You. Thank you, Lord. You are awesome praise, and mighty
praise,
in this place.
Praise the Lord.
We worship you today.
Oh,
they
we exalt just pray in the
today,
Holy Ghost.
Father.
Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I met a Vietnam veteran the other day who was in the Air Force. He was a combat veteran from the Air Force, and his job in Vietnam was to carry those huge radios, and he'd be on the ground and he would call in airstrikes. The enemy is right here. And then he said, I would duck. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're calling in airstrikes.
Thank you, Jesus.
On the devil. He doesn't know where you are. He doesn't understand what you're saying. But powerful stuff is happening. Somebody say, pray much in the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pray in the Spirit. Let's take 30 seconds right now and pray in the Holy Ghost. Sholo bebe ke la raba ba shondo lo ve le de ke le alo no. Ke la la lo no. For our families, Lord. For our church, Lord. For the nation, O God.
Hey, la la ba ba do. Solo leve a rebiando. Glory, 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 glory to the Lord. Praise Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, just praise Him this morning. Just praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's so good. He's so good.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can we do that special song now?
Sure.
Lindsay, would you come and share with us? Lindsay wrote a really cool song this past week or two, and I listened to it last night, and I feel it's very appropriate for us today. Amen. So, Lindsay, you mind sharing just briefly about?
Sure.
Go right ahead.
So I was, I think it was last week, actually, we weren't going to church because we were getting healed. And so I just decided, you know what, I'm going to have my own little praise worship in my room. And so I got out the keyboard and I just started playing. And then these words just kind of flowed out. And so I know it was just the right timing for today. So we'll just go ahead and do it. And it's super easy. So if you guys want to sing along, you can.
Place I will stay close by His side, where peace resides. I can see the smile on His face. Yes, oh yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, He loves me always. 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 All my days. There's no change. His love stays the same. Oh, my Jesus loves me always. I'll never leave my glorious King in the sea. Place I will stay close by His side, where peace resides. I can see the smile on His face. Yes, oh yes, Jesus loves. Yes, He loves me always, 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 all my days, all my days. There's no change, His love stays the same. Oh. true that He loves me always. It is 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 true that He loves me always. Thank you, Jesus. Always. Always. All my days. All my days. There's no change. His love stays the same. Oh, my Jesus loves me. Always. Oh, my Jesus loves me always. Oh, my Jesus loves me always. 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 There's no change, His love stays the same. Oh, my Jesus loves me always. Oh, my Jesus loves me. My glorious King in the secret place I will stay.
Thank you, Lindsay. That was beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Whew, aren't you so glad that Jesus loves us? Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up this morning to Matthew. It's Matthew 11, right? Nope, 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're starting a new series. And I love when God starts a new series and it's right before something happens in your life. And the title of it is, Therefore, Do Not Worry. Let me say it again. Therefore, do not worry. One more time. Therefore, do not worry. And it says in verse 24, we're going to start there. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore. So this next part is important because you have to ask yourself, what is therefore? What is it therefore, right? It creates a question. Why is this therefore? What's going to happen is based on what just was said. And it talks about a verse we've talked about before where you can't serve two masters.
We've talked about this a lot of times. In fact, Lacey and I were just having a conversation of why is it so hard for Christians to be okay with wealth? It's because they've forgotten that if you're serving one master, then you aren't serving another. So if you're serving God with your whole heart, you don't have to be afraid of money. Can I hear an amen? So this is what Jesus is setting us up for. He's getting ready to tell us something, but it's important to know that you've got to serve one master. You have to choose. And if you choose the Lord, this is what he says. If you choose the Lord, then here comes what, this is what comes next. I say to you, do not worry. I can tell you, if you serve money, you are going to worry all the time. That's how you can tell. Is what is your attitude towards your checkbook? Ouch. We can say, oh yeah, I believe in God, I believe in the Lord, but then something hits us that's unexpected, like two cars back to back in your family needing massive repairs. We just went through that this week. But can I tell you something? I realized that my attitude and my views have changed. I did a couple of wows. Wow, 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 wow. But I didn't freak out. I didn't start sobbing. I didn't start crying. I didn't break down because I have come to the place that I realize I serve the Lord. Therefore, because I serve the Lord, I do not have to worry. Say it with me. I do not have to worry. Now listen to what he says. In verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what will you put on it? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, yet they or gather into barns, that your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? Or can you make yourself taller by trying to worry? So why do you worry? I love Jesus. You can't do anything about it, so why are you worrying? About your clothing, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. Now, he's not saying that as a slam. He's saying that with a compassionate heart. Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, let's hear it again. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, those who have no covenant, those who have made God their money, or their money God. That's the ones that are worrying, not us. Say, not me. Not me. For your heavenly Father knows that what you need of and all these things that you need, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry. Say it with me again. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We're going to be going through this passage of scripture, but it's important for us to lay the foundation of do not worry. There's going to be things that are going to come up in our lives. The Bible verse that the kids and I were learning a couple weeks ago was, no weapon formed against me will prosper. That doesn't say that there won't be a weapon formed against you. So often we miss that point. There are weapons the enemy tries to form against us, but it will not prosper. When I asked the kids, what does that mean to you? I love what Ella said. She says, that means nothing the enemy has planned is going to succeed. It's not going to work. I love that. From right from a kid's mouth. What the enemy has planned is not going to succeed, and it's not going to work. It's not going to take you out. Why? Because you do not worry. Because you know who is the master of your life. God is a loving master. He's a father. So you don't have to worry about anything. Say, I choose not to worry about anything. So those two cars I was telling you about, one's already done and paid. Yes, you can clap your hands. Let's clap our hands. Done and paid. The next one's done tomorrow. When you are trusting in the Lord, you don't have to worry. When something rises up and you go, wow. It's okay to say wow, right? Whoa, whoa. But don't give in to that. Don't let that come in and lay on you. That's what worry does. It comes in like a thick, you know, they have those blankets now, the weighted blankets that you can put on you and it feels like the weight. That's what worry does. It's this weight that comes on you. And a lot of times you don't even realize it because it's so subtle. So you've got to ask yourself, do I feel weighed down? Is something weighing me down? And a lot of times people say, well, it's because I'm supposed to be praying for this. Can I tell you something? When the Lord puts something on your heart, it's not a weight. It's a compassion feeling that moves you to do something. If you're carrying a weight, you are carrying the wrong thing. He says his burden is light and easy. You're not weighed down by something that the Lord gives you. Okay? He will direct you and guide you, and oftentimes he'll put this burning in your heart to pray for something. But our God is a good God. Say, our God is a good God. And he has plans and purposes for us. I chose this picture because I was thinking of the place that I feel the most at peace and feel like everything else doesn't even matter. And that's a Snake River. And I can walk out on the dock and it looks something similar like this, but it's got a T, and you can walk out and you just sit and you just look down the canyon. And it's just beautiful, especially at night. It's just beautiful, and it's light breeze blowing, and you can just sit there and your feet in the water, and you don't have a care in the world. Nothing else matters, unless you're fishing. But at that point, you know, you're just relaxing. You're just taking in the glory of God. That's how God wants us to live all the time. He wants us to stay in that place of no worries. And people might say, oh, well, but I'm an adult. There's things I have to worry about. Can I tell you something? No. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your dad take care of it. Let your dad take care of it. Yesterday, I remember walking in my room saying, okay, Father, you have a bill. Just letting you know, you've got a bill, so just let me know when you get it all figured out what I'm supposed to do. I was literally kind of, it was one of those out-of-body experiences, looking back at myself going, wow, Lord, I have come a long way in you. And how I used to react to how I react now. Because I can look back, like David says, and I can remember what God has already done. If he was faithful then, he'll be faithful now, and he'll be faithful tomorrow. So you do not have to worry. Aren't you so glad? Aren't you so glad that you serve a Father that loves you and will take care of you? And we're going to see more and more in this passage of Scripture that we don't have to worry. We just put our trust in God. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for this word. We thank you for your faithfulness to your word. You don't just say something and just, oh yeah, whatever. No, you back it up with your faithfulness. We thank you, Jesus, that you specifically told us, do not worry. We have our part, and that is to make the Lord our one and true master. Not money, but the Lord. And when we do that, we have a therefore, and it is there for a reason, and it's to tell us we do not have to worry when God is on the throne in our lives. You will take care of us. And we praise you for that today. We worship you today for the ways you have taken care of us in the past. And Father, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what unexpected thing comes up in our lives, we will stand firm in you and say, I choose not to worry. I choose to rest in the peace of God, knowing my God has been faithful before and he will be faithful again today. We pray, Father, for every person in this room as we go into 2022, Father. We know that the world is doing all kinds of crazy things, but we aren't part of the world system. We're part of your system as tithers. We're removed from that stuff. So we just thank you, Father. We're not going to be tossed to and fro, like James says, by every little comment or every little wave that comes. No, we are going to stand firm in you, solidly planted on the rock, and we are not going to worry. Pray, Father, you bless every seed that is sown today. Bless the sower. Let them reap a harvest 100-fold, Father, so that we can continue to give to every good work. And everyone said, amen. Woo! Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray over this message today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to spend a few weeks ministering on the core values of Redeemed Church. Hallelujah. Our theme for the year is kingdom culture, right? There is, pretty much been an all-out war on the culture of our nation for many years, right? But just kind of acutely right now, right? And in this season that everybody's in, where, good is painted as evil, and light is painted as darkness, and up is painted as down. And so as believers, we need to be people who know what the Word of God says, and we're not changed by culture. We are people that are called to impact the culture, not be impacted by the culture. And so this theme of kingdom culture, God's kingdom has a culture to it, right? And so we're just going to spend, as far as I know, much of this year preaching and teaching on these things, right? Because these things need to be spoken into the church, spoken into the earth. The church is supposed to be a signpost. Remember when I was a kid, and our kids do too, like on egg hunts, Easter egg hunts, and, whoever, there's like two eggs left and no one can find them. And what did you say as an adult? You're getting warmer. You're hot. Oh, you're frigid. You're ice cold. You're in Iceland. You're getting close to Hawaii, right? And the church is supposed to be that way in terms of the culture, right? Boy, you are so warm right now. You're getting so close to what the Word says about that. Oh, man, you are ice cold, frigid cold. Right? And so that's what we're supposed to be as the body of Christ. Amen? We don't bend with the culture. We're like a post planted in the rock of God's Word, and we're not moved. Amen? Glory to God. And particularly today, that's why I asked Lindsay to share that beautiful song about the love of God. Because the love of God, really, in one word, is the culture of the kingdom of God. Somebody say, love is the culture of the kingdom of God. But the world has taken that word, the devil really, let's just back up a step or two, the devil has taken that word and twisted it. And even use scriptures, right, and ministers and ministries in some cases to take that word and twist its meaning. Just simple terms like the rainbow right now, right? The rainbow that How many of you know anything about the Bible, right? Noah's Ark, the first rainbow that came in after the ark, God promising never to destroy the earth again by a flood, right? And the rainbow came in as his sign of covenant. It's a sign of God's mercy. Somebody say mercy, which means his loving kindness. God's mercy, however, is not a license for Steve to go live however Steve wants to live. God's mercy is an invitation to come to God and be restored to him. And so the enemy, the devil, has taken that precious symbol and twisted its meaning, perverted it like he does everything else. Right? In Revelation, there's a scripture that talks about a rainbow literally surrounds the throne of God. Doesn't mean God is LGBTQ+. No. Somebody say no. There's a reason why. I always thought it was kind of strange when I was a child. Why would God say male and female? Duh. He knew 2022 was coming. Right? And there's nothing new under the sun, right? God created them male and female. Right? There's, you know, other portions of scripture where it talks about the rainbow and dealing with an angel and this kind of stuff. It has nothing to do with sexual perversions. Now, perversion just meaning something that is twisted out of its original intent. Right? And that's who the devil is, right? So as the church, as a believer, we just simply have to be able to recognize what is true and what is false. And then we get busy being about the truth, right? Is it possible, church, Christians in this room, all of you, right? I know you are. Is it possible for you and me to love someone who is of, you know, a non-believing lifestyle, whether it's, you know, homosexuality or whatever it is? Love them without loving their lifestyle. Absolutely. If that were not the case, we'd all be lost. Jesus would not put up with any of us. How many of you know that, right? Amen? So yes, in fact, the love of God is what draws people, the Bible says, draws people to repentance. Let me say that again, really slow. The love of God is what draws people to repentance. Jesus preached repentance. He didn't preach love everybody, love all their philosophies, just embrace whatever, whatever. I don't care. Just love it all. That is death. Cold, cold, Iceland. No, you love God. Somebody say, love God. Love his word. First, that brings us to the foundation text today, Matthew 6. If you want to open your Bible, if you don't have a notes page, you can open your Bible. You might want to open your Bible anyway. I'm going to open mine to Ephesians chapter 5 if you want to, because that's one of our main texts today. But a lot of it is just right there in your notes. Honestly, it's usually for the sake of time that I just print them out and hand them out. But Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first, somebody say first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What things? Well, how many know to live in this world, we need things. Cars, right? Automobiles, education, training, jobs, businesses, appliances that don't break, clothing, right? But if we just go chasing the things, that's where Pastor Shelley was talking about the worry begins to settle. But if we're seeking God first and his kingdom, then he says, hey, I'll add all these things unto you. Somebody say glory to God. But the word first is really what we want to look at today. And that means, in the concordance, in that term means firstly, in time. Somebody say in time. It's real important that we seek him What time is it? 11:36, right? Somebody say, now is the right time to seek the Lord. Oh, I'll get around to that sometime before I die. Somebody say, now is the time. What time is it to seek the Lord? Somebody say, now. Now, right? Firstly, in time, place, man, people, they can seek God wherever they are. Hospital, prison, death row, on the highway, at school. Just cry out to him from your heart, and he's there. Hallelujah, right? Firstly, in importance. Somebody say it's really important to seek first the kingdom of God. Right? Oh, you know, it ain't important to read my Bible. I can read stuff about the Bible. Right? The Bible doesn't have all the answers. Church isn't all that important. I can live with someone, not be married to them, and still, and I know I love them. They know I love them. No, if there ain't no commitment, there ain't no love. Right? Amen? Somebody say first. Right? It means before. Before anything else. Hallelujah. At the beginning, chiefly. First of all, somebody say, first of all, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things that the world just tries to blast at you. I was walking through a high school yesterday or Friday doing a service, and there was a credit union's logo on the wall at a high school. I was like, okay, maybe they're sponsorship, but they're already conditioning kids that you're going to be in debt. Right? Oh, you're 18. Here's your first Visa. Yeah. Somebody say, seek you first. Yeah, but you don't have to save and go to work. All you got to do is get this, you know, department store card and, you know, 40% interest, and you can have those jeans now. Somebody say, seek ye first. A tenth is the Lord. That's a good way to seek God first in finance, right? But we need to be people of his word, amen? But our core values, we call them the core six. They're on our website. But I really believe that the core values really are a reflection, really, of the culture of our church, right? So I wanted to spend a few weeks talking about it, but our first core value is we walk in love. Somebody say, I walk in love. Right? Amen. In Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to turn there in my Bible. I was on my way, and then I started preaching. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us. Man, every time I see the word us in the Bible, very often I see U.S. United States, right? Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. He loves the U.S. Praise God, he's bringing healing to the U.S. How's he going to do that? Somebody say, through me. Through my prayers, through my participation, through my vote, through my faith, glory to God. There's a lot of people that believe like you in terms of bringing healing to our land, right? And given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. So somebody say, I walk in love. Well, to the world, that can mean a lot of things. To the culture of the world. But somebody say, you got to be different. You got to be biblical. And there's people out there that would say they are Christians, but yet they embrace all these other philosophies, promote things that are not biblical, put people in office to support those philosophies. They're making a lot of money. Right? Somebody say, no, that's not going to be the way I'm going to live. Right? I'm going to live according to God's word. Well, how do we know that? Well, we need to look at God's word. and find out what it says. Amen? Well, here's a few good examples right here. Certainly not all of them, but it gives you a good feel for it. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40, Jesus is speaking. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" What's he saying? What's first? He's trying to trip up the master, right? Jesus said to him, "You shall love." Right? Number one, somebody say, "You shall love." Right? But he goes on, "You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul," it's your mind, your will, and your emotions, "and with all your mind," right? "With all your heart, your spirit, all your strength. This is the first," somebody say first, right? "And great commandment. The second is like it, you shall love," somebody say you shall love, right? "Your neighbor as yourself." Amen? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Don't you love how Jesus just simplifies things? See, if I love God, I'm not going to be worshiping, you know, think about the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to be worshiping other gods, embracing idols. I've been in people's houses and they'll have the cross and they'll have a Buddha and they'll have a, you know, whatever else, all these other random things, because they want, man, they want it all. Some places you can physically feel it. When you walk into their house, you can feel a spiritual vibe. I don't know if you've ever gone anywhere in Portland or someplace, and it's like there is a weird spiritual vibe in this place. And then you notice the little prayer thing or the, you know, you're not judging the people, but you're saying, you know what, that's a false god, man. And then you begin to intercede and pray and take authority. And I've done it before where I've wiped a little sweat off my brow and just anoint their wall. In Jesus' name, I claim these people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been in places where there's witchcraft going on. And the hair on my neck just will stand up, and I'll notice where I'm, you know, doing a service, a home service. Walked into a room one day, and the hair in the back of my neck stood up. I was like, what is going on? And there's all these pentagrams, and it felt like a wild animal all of a sudden was watching me. And I started telling it who the Lord is, and got out of there. Amen? Glory to God. But see, you have a love for God, not a love for the lies. Amen? In the same way, I was at this one lady's house, went into her closet because there's a crawl space access, and I felt the Holy Ghost when I walked in that closet and realized that was her prayer room. It was literally her prayer closet. And I felt a familiarity there. And I told her. I was like, "Man, lady, whatever you're doing in this room, keep doing it, because I can feel it right here. I feel it." Amen. Well, you're loving God first. And you love people. But who do you love first? Somebody say, God. I love God first. That's why I can stand in the face of somebody who calls me a hater and say, "That's not true. I love you, but I'm not changing my philosophy based on what you're saying I should do or believe, because I have a higher authority to answer to." Right? And eternity is a really long time, and I'm not going to hell for anybody. Somebody already went to hell for me. His name is Jesus. My faith is in him. Yes, I love you, but I will not turn the course of this church or this ministry to get more butts in the seats, nickels in the plate, get government assistance if you preach this way or that way. No. I answer to a higher authority than that. I love someone more. Amen. You hear a lot of times you hear the lesson of, you know, well, you need to love Jesus more than anyone. Of course. That doesn't mean I'm skipping my kids' ball games and stuff because, well, I had to do something for Jesus, so you're second. Well, yeah, they're second. But it doesn't mean I'm skipping their life. Ministry is not my God, I guess is what I'm saying. I am first a Christian, a son of God, then a husband to my wife, a father to my children, then a pastor. Amen? Glory to God. But somebody say, we love him first. What that means is, if my sons are both here right now, if dad decides to go to Iceland, I'm just gonna, you know what, all this stuff is just a bunch of hooey. I don't believe it anymore. Because it would hurt, it would be painful, it would be uncomfortable, but because they love Jesus more than me, they ain't following me to Iceland. They're staying with Jesus and praying and casting the devil off of dad. Well, that ain't gonna happen, but that's a good example. That's an example of loving God more. So if I've got a family member that's in Iceland spiritually, I'm not following them to Iceland. No, I'm praying for them. I'm ministering to them. I'm being a light for them. How? By my love. Man, my kids are such a great example of I don't share this, you know, lightheartedly, but they love each other. I mean, they don't always agree with each other, but man, there's nothing they wouldn't do for one another. Whether it's let me help you get your car repaired, whether it's, you know, a gift here and there, a positive word, you know, they just, there's nothing, and that will always be with them throughout their life. Because eventually you'll probably want to leave home. Not today, but eventually you'll have your own families, but you guys will always have that bond. And it's based in your love for the Lord, which is phenomenal. Amen? Somebody say, love God first, and then you can love your neighbor. Hallelujah. How many know even other Christians are not easy to love sometimes? Right? But you do it anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. We got to move this thing along here. Beloved, I love John. John is the one disciple who refers to himself multiple times. He calls himself, I am the disciple who Jesus loves. Now, talk about some confidence. John the Beloved. And he's the one that outlived all of them. I heard they even tried to execute him by boiling him in oil. And he just wouldn't die. So they had to put him out on an island by himself. And here's a man that loves God so, and knows God loves him so much. It's another good comparison between King David and King Saul. They both had sin issues. But David knew God loves me. Saul thought God hates me. And Saul ended up in disaster, right? But here's John, right? He gets excommunicated to an island. How many know there's people right now in this nation in leadership that would like to excommunicate you to an island and just get rid of you? Let me ask you this. Do you still love them? Somebody go, yeah, I do. How do you do that? Because God is on the inside of you, reaching out to them. You can kill me, you can torture me, you can excommunicate me, you can hate me, you can call me a racist and a hater and a bigot or whatever else, you can try to shut our doors, but I still love you. Don't go to hell. Amen. Well, here's John. He's excommunicated onto the island of whatever they call it, Patmos, where he got the book of Revelation was written there by himself. You know what I love about John? This is a great pro-church thing right here. He was all by himself. And it said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. John went to church by himself. He's like, I'm excommunicated by myself on an island, but it's the Lord's day. I'm going to worship and pray and study the word. And man, did he have an experience. Angels showed up to church. And wow, glory to God. So this is the brother word that's telling us this right now. And his first word is what? Beloved. Oh, how great God loves you. Do you understand how precious you are to him, the Father, that you have received and accepted the sacrifice his son made with his life, tortured and beaten and crucified, and so many reject that and say they don't need it and downtrod it and act like it means nothing to them, but not this man and not you. That puts you on a real high place with God. Amen? Somebody say, he loves me, right? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, see, the world would take that type of scripture and say, see, you're just supposed to love it all. No, I don't love anything that's stealing, killing, or destroying. That's the devil. Now, I can still love them, that person, without loving their filth that they're broadcasting. Somebody say amen in the church, right? Hallelujah. Let us love one another, for God, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is, this is a powerful statement, God is love. Somebody say, God is love. So you could interchange anywhere the Bible talks about God, you could put love there. For love so loved the world. Amen, right? Glory to God. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. There's us again. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Somebody say, through him. And who is he again? Somebody say, love. So live through love. Live through the lenses of love, the love of God. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Another translation or another scripture says we loved him because he, somebody say, first loved us. There's that word first again. I love him because he first loved me. He loved me, man, and you when we were, you know, in bad shape spiritually. He loved us, and that drew us to him. Amen? Hallelujah. I heard one minister say once that love is the gravitational pull of heaven. Think of that. When someone steps out of this body into eternity and they start going up, it's the love of God that's drawing them home. Glory to God. This is marvelous, right? The love of God is the most powerful force in the universe. The blood of Jesus is liquid love. Amen. Beloved, if God so loved us, there's the U.S. again, we also ought to love one another. Jesus set the example, didn't he? God set the example for us to follow. Amen. Somebody say, I walk in love. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 13, we'll close with this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. Now, these types of statements are not to nullify or degrade those gifts of faith and miracles and giving and, you know, all. No, those are very valid. What it's saying is they do not transcend love in importance. Have you ever met a mean Christian? right? Praying in tongues and got their Bible out, listening to Christian radio, but they're ornery, grumpy. I've been that, right? Mean, gossiping, whatever. Somebody say first love, right? And although verse 3, pardon me, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. We're really talking about the character of God here, because outside of God, on the inside of us, we can't live like this every day. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, right? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Somebody say, love never fails, right? But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when, verse 10, that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Verse 11, this is kind of the main thing here for this message. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So I would say it this way. If we're not walking in love, we need to grow up. It's childish, spiritually, to not walk in love. Just be thinking of me all the time, being selfish, playing around with sin that I know is wrong. Somebody say, grow up. Love God more than you love your vice. How many know there's some things that God has redeemed me from that were instantaneous? Other things are a process. That's why there's scriptures about me crucifying my flesh. Because there's some things that he redeemed me from that I might kind of like. Amen. So what do I got to do? Somebody say, love him more. Love him more. Grow up. Amen, right? For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So that word greatest means the first. Somebody say first love. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up on our feet and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes and lift your hands to the Lord. And let's just thank God that for his great love. Father, we thank you for the great love of Jesus today. We thank you, Lord, that you are love, and we receive your Spirit today. Somebody just say, I receive the Spirit of love today. I will walk in love. I will love God more than anything else and love people, no matter who they are, no matter their nationality, no matter their political affiliation, no matter their faith background. I will love all people, but first and foremost, I love God. I love his word. I'll do what his word says and help point somebody to heaven. Man, I'll tell you what, on this year, church, there was such a spirit of evangelism this year, too. People need to get saved and come to Jesus because eternity is closer and closer and closer. And we are going to be people that God can use effectively. We are a church, a ministry that God can use. to reach people with his great love and draw them out of darkness and draw them out of sin and draw them out of sickness and disease and vices, and draw them out of hell, literally. Oh God, we thank you and we praise you for it, Lord, that we would walk in such like the song Lindsay sang, Lord, that we would have such a revelation of how much you love us. And that I think of the scripture that says he will quiet you with his love. And we thank you for that today, Jesus. Somebody say, I submit to the great love of God in every area of my life. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.